Well, you know what we're going to do? Grab your phone, grab your Bible, on your feet, kids. Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. All right, we will be glad. Got your phone? You're waving your phone at me. I see them already. Tyler, wave your phone at me, son. Let me see it. I want to make sure. Okay, yeah. Oh, tell that girl you get back to her in just a minute. You're going to do that right now. Oh, wave it up. Put it up real high. Everybody just loud as you can do it. Make it your affirmation. Ready? Put it up there for me, Mary Alice, if you would. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it loud again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Now, these words will be adapted a bit next Sunday. Come find out what we say. You may be seated, baby. God bless all of you in Jesus' name. It's a good day. Let's do this thing. Here we are. Part 3, Kingdom Truths, Pivotal Kingdom Truths, and the Birth of a Ministry. We understood when we read that first pivotal truth a few weeks ago during a temptation time after baptism. And we understood the power and the place of the Word of God, because that's the only way to stand against attacks and the things that come against us. We must know this more than ever, not just a little statement that we recite each day. And don't make it a rote thing like a Pledge of Allegiance, but make it something that goes down deep. You must know what you just said for sure. You must be sure. The old timer saying, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Even in that which we don't understand, we must trust him. When the natural forecast is bleak, and my God, it is bleak today. It's never been more bleak in what we're looking at right now. And that's why we post things on our Facebook to encourage you to pray and to wake you up. We must be ready. Why must we be ready? Because we are naive if we don't think there's something demonic going on in our world today. It's never stopped, but it's kicked up to a level right now because there's so much support and so many willing accomplices. Lance Walno said it this way: demonic activity is on the rise, and the enemy is targeting our minds with relentless attacks. Now, do you remember the Jesus story there? Remember where he said one thing and he was resisted. He came back and he said another thing, he was resisted. You know, we were talking about somebody, Linda was counseling with somebody this week, and it was just an aggravating attack that this person was doing against this person. We got to get together. You know, you be careful when somebody says, if it sounds drippy, put your radar on, you know what I mean? And I said, you need to be like Nehemiah. He's up on the wall and they're saying things that on paper look friendly and innocuous and loving, but Nehemiah's radar went off and he said, I can't come down. I'm too busy. I'm doing something for God. And that's the same thing we saw with Jesus. He kept coming back, and it said he didn't go away forever. He said he came back until another time. So you're living in a dream world if you think you're gonna prance around and pronounce something and not be attacked of what's going on. It is relentless. We're in a time right now, as I said, leaders are pandering and doing all sort of things. I saw something this week that really concerned me, I'm going to be gentle as possible, but I'm going to tell you this. Dylan Mulvaney is an American actress, a transgender actress, 10 million followers on TikTok. Does that tell you something about the world? 10 million followers. After celebrating this week 1 year of transition, you know, when we were kids, the things we talked about that were shameful, we didn't talk about them, we whispered. But here's a letter that Dylan got just this week. Dear Dylan, I send you the warmest greetings as you celebrate your 365th day of living authentically. You have courageously shared your story and your journey. I appreciate your advocacy for the transgender equality, including during your visit last year. I'm not going to read all of it because it's over the top. Our administration stands with your community, and it listed all the ABCs. I'm grateful for your dedication. I hope you'll continue to use your platform to spread positivity and create change. I look forward to seeing all that you will accomplish in the future. Signed, the Vice President of the United States of America.
And Budweiser just announced that this thing's on the new can. Somebody in the PR department has missed the demographics of their sales. Seriously. There's somebody that's missed that. Pull that out at NASCAR and see what happens next Sunday. I'll tell you that right now. And then we experience what happened this week on Monday, but more about that later. Today's story in part three takes a big 180. It lands on me, and it lands on you. As I said last week, it's no longer a history lesson, because we're living in a time in the spirit of Babel, the spirit of confusion. And I wrote a definition for that last week. And I didn't just leave it at confusion, but when I really, really looked at silly letters like this and foolishness like that, I said, what is it? And I wrote these words. They are man's plans to bypass God. This is where we are today. That's what Babel tried to do. It led to confusion. We're living in a time where man's plans to bypass God are growing. Last week in our reading, we witnessed the birth of a ministry. But not everybody was ready for that birth. You remember the statement in Luke 4 where he made the statement in verse 18 where he opened up by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You remember that. And he began to read from Isaiah. We went through all of that last week. And that was interesting, and they smiled, and he's a fine young man. And, oh, doesn't he speak well? But he just couldn't leave it well enough alone, you know what I mean? And it says as he's walking away at the very end, around verse 21, he stops and looks at them, and he makes this statement, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." They could talk about a God far away, a deliverer, and that's a lot of people in our world today. Oh, we can talk about God. We love God. We're children of God. We are children of God. All the children of the world, we are children of God. But when it gets down to a walking and a relationship and a demand and an expectation of change and repentance and then growing and walking in Him, wait, hold on, not so fast. I'm not ready for that. Then Jesus stands up and he's ahead of them and he knows what they're going to say and he stops. And he started giving two examples about the power. But what did he do? He went back to the thing that they understood. They understood their history. But he did something different. He went back to, and he talked about two prophets of God that stepped over these things. And what do you mean the things? He stepped over the things that they thought were most important, like their entitlement because of their place of birth and because of their traditions. And he talked about two, he gave the example of Elijah and Elisha and how they went to people who were not traditionally in the family of God. In fact, one of them called them a foreigner and brought to them the word of the Lord. They weren't ready for that because their mind said, we were born into this tradition, we're here, and automatically by our birth, we automatically demand to see the response we want to see. This was the last straw. They got ticked off. It was too much for them for one day. So the only thing I'll read from last week is verse 28, where it says, "And when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious." I got to tell you, that's not really the way to end your sermon. You know what I mean? We have an old friend, and he pastored a little small church out in Texas many years ago, and it was a real rough area, and it was a rough church, and boy, they just beat this little pastor up all the way. And it was one of those little traditional churches there that when you walked in, there was an American flag and there was a Christian flag, and you've seen that in the old timers in the old churches there, and he had just had enough. He'd had enough of getting shot at. He'd had enough of getting beat up, and he stood up when it was time to preach. He went over and grabbed the Christian flag. He took it and put it right in the middle. He lowered it to half mast and he said goodbye, and he walked out. He took the wife by the hand, the two boys on the front row. They walked out the aisle, up the aisle. They got in the car and they never came back. Now that's an exit. That's way cool. That's before a mic drop happened. All right, lower the flag. You've shot at me enough. I'm moving on. So one day if you see a flag up here, you better be ready. They didn't want to hear what was going on. When they heard it, they were furious. They jumped up, they mobbed him, and they got behind him. Now, the church wasn't next to a cliff,
But this thing was an ongoing thing. They took him and they got behind him, probably where, you know, you've seen when the police grab somebody and the Secret Service grabs somebody and they've got them by both arms and all you see, their toes are barely touching the ground as they're walking them out on both. That's kind of probably the way they were pushing Jesus. It said they forced him. This was something. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? They went to the edge of the cliff where the town was built and they intended to push him over the cliff. But verse 30 says this. I wish they'd give me more details. I'd wish they'd give me more details. Here's all it says. Now, there's a mob on both sides. Verse 30. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. He went right through the crowd and went on his way. They think they've got their arms on him and he's gone. This was the very moment that the plan came together. The ministry had been birthed, but the plan really came together. Because the word is here. They couldn't perceive what had gone on. Why is this? They hadn't heard what they wanted to hear. We live in a world today where people are wanting to hear what they want to hear. If you've ever raised a child, you've said this. If you're married, you've said this. You hear what you want to hear. You hear what you want to hear. We laugh, but that probably came from God Almighty. It remains a problem in our world today because people are searching and they'll go to anything. You know, we live in a time right now it remains the problem. Joyce Meyer is quite a character. We were telling her the story one day when Linda was in the hospital, and Linda was going through, and I had to sign the paper that said she's going to lose her kidney, it looks like, and go into surgery. And I saw her go in, and I could hear her going, whoa, 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 whoa. It was Joyce Meyer's voice, you know that voice. And yeah, I could hear it coming through her little headphones there. But Joyce was talking about the world in which we live today. She said, the Bible says, in the last days, people will have itching ears. You see that line right there? Itching ears. She said, rather than searching for truth, they will search for a voice saying what they want to hear. She says, so therefore, we must be knowledgeable about God's truth. Recognizing God's approval is far more important than any other human's. Now, when Joyce used that statement of itching ears, I wrote it down real quick. What does she mean? Well, itching ears, it's so 2023. Where'd that come from? It came from an older man talking to a young man. And before I'm going to read what I'm going to read, he actually opens up a few verses before, and he's challenging the young man, and he says to him, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. He's giving the assignment. This is in 2 Timothy 4. That was verse 2. Now watch this. This is verse 3. Preach the word. Now I'm going to tell you why in verse 3. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Stop right here. What is sound doctrine? We learn the doctrines of Christ. We've studied them. We've learned them. We repentance from dead works, faith towards God, and then it goes into the baptisms, and it goes into the Spirit, and it says we continue to do these things until He returns. Doctrine, good doctrine, not fairy tales. He said they will not endure sound doctrine. Now stop right here. You got to stop long enough to get sound doctrine. And the attention span is such in the world today, they're not going to sit long enough to get sound doctrine because they want their belly scratched so their legs will start moving. That'll excite them. Sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. How 2023? Because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll search out the ones. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Is this stunning?
This is written in the Bible a long time ago. It looks like the front page of your paper. Verse 5. But you. Look at somebody, take your finger and go, that means you. And then go, that means me. But you, be watchful of all things. Pay attention, son. I think that's great. And then he's got to pull this on me. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Yeah, but I'm a new covenant believer. I don't have afflictions. Okay. When we really don't realize, when we walk through things, God's teaching things, God's doing things, and we come out on the other side, and the first thing we stop and say, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Do you want to teach me something? He said, you be watchful in all things, and you endure. Endure, endure, endure. That's not a happy word, but it's a God word. And then he says to him, but you do the work of an evangelist. In other words, you endure, and don't stop, but in the meantime, you do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The Message Bible, it won't be up there, but the Message Bible says it this way. You're going to find there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching. They will fill up on spiritual junk food. They'll fill up on catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you, this is the first time we're hearing in the scripture, well, I don't care if everybody's jumping off the cliff. You're not going, but you keep an eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good times and keep the message alive and do a thorough good job as God's servant. That's the Message Bible from the same passage there right now. But here's the problem. They did not want to hear this. They didn't want to hear it. The scripture, it must have been something, because not too many times in the scripture do you see the word furious. Well, there it is. There it is. But by this time, by the time they were furious, the ministry was already in full gear. The Holy Ghost train had already left the station. It was not going to be stopped. Their fury, their fuming, their fluster did not matter anymore. So do you see a pattern for you and for me in our lives? Let me say, their fury, it doesn't matter anymore. Here's a good lesson. You can't let the noise get to you. You can't let the noise get to you. You can't let the noise get to you. And boy, that's tough sometimes. How many of you are of the age now that you have to turn the radio down where you can see which way you're supposed to turn? I don't know what that has to do with the other thing. But you got to turn the radio down so you can see which way you're going to turn. I talked to Jerry this week. He was in the home of Sarah and Solo. And you know how many people live there? All of a sudden, I get this phone call. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm sitting here. And it was that, like, come get me sound. You know what I mean? He said, they're everywhere. And he said, and on top of it, the piano teacher's here. I said, what? He said, one after another, they're in there playing the piano. And I'm hearing piano. And I'm hearing all these kind of things like that. I said, well, God's got you there for a reason, pal. You can't let the noise get to you. You know, Jesus could have got to that part where they say, all right, okay, I take it back. I didn't really mean it. No, but the mission was on. So back to our story. Fasten your seatbelt. You ready for it? Here's where we pick up. Verse 31. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. He was regular at church. There you go. There, too, the people were amazed at his teaching. He spoke with authority. King James Version right here says, he spoke with power. Once when he was in a synagogue, a man possessed by a demon. Stop right there. It's highly probable that the man was a recognizable figure in the gatherings. Okay? He was a regular, highly likely. Highly likely. Somebody knew in there. But it said he was a man possessed by a devil, by an evil spirit. He cried out and he began to shout, go away! Leave us alone, one translation says. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Stop right there. They knew his name. They already knew his name. Have you come to destroy us? This is one guy speaking and he's talking us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. James chapter 2, verse 19 said, demons tremble at the sound of God's name. Now, let me say this. What the man said was true. Everything he said was true. But Jesus would not be recognized, promoted, or validated by this demon spirit that was speaking. So even when you hear something, put your discernment up. Demons tremble at the sound. Now, let me just say this right now. Demon power is very, very real. It's very, very real. We saw demonic power manifested just this week in a school. It was evil. What's so pathetic about it is that the New York Times, USA Today, NBC News, and other mainstream outlets seem to have spent more energy and more concern and more time about the accidental misgendering a demonic killer. That's insane. That's insane. That's insane. Those babies, that teacher that stood there. When Stephen Curtis Chapman, the great gospel Christian singer, went through an awful time and he lost his little girl, it was in that school where his family and that very principal went to his family and consoled his family and prayed with them in the loss of his little daughter back all those years ago. And he said it was the love and comfort of that lady, that precious principal, that and he remembered that day. That little girl named Evelyn was 9 years old. She was 9 years old and she went to go pull the alarm to warn everybody and she saved lives by doing so. Do you know that 2 days ago was Friday? And do you know that Friday there was going to be an assembly in the school that day and they were doing a tribute to different kinds of music and it was jazz music this week and little Evelyn was singing a solo, What a Wonderful World. I just don't have time. If we're going to bow over. Joel Berry, a great Christian writer who's done a great service in the Christian community, said, and when you watch TV, Joel Berry said, this is the first time I've ever seen the media take the side of a mass shooter. Little foolish children were protesting in city halls and in capitals and even in Nashville, Tennessee this week, putting 7 fingers up about the dead people. Demon power is very real, and I know it when I see it. I saw it on another level just that afternoon, just hours after the tragedy. Instead of confronting and comforting, I saw leaders' buffoonery yucking it up and pointing out little kids in a crowd. I saw eyes that were controlled by some other spirit. Something else was in charge, and it troubled me. I saw a demon spirit then. I doubt you would have seen such an intentionally tone-deaf act had a deranged Presbyterian walked in and shot up a transgender show. They'd have that deranged Presbyterian all over the news. Lance is right. Demonic activity is on the rise. In the mainstream, it's laughed at. It is protected. Just a few days earlier, Jane Fonda sat on a panel and talked about calling for the murder of people and the murder of Christians who went for abortion in the dimwit panel of SEALs. They clap like SEALs. Professor Stephen Shapiro, he teaches film and media studies in Wayne State, just out of Detroit. He only got suspended, but he got suspended for suggesting that the conservative speakers on campus should be killed. The media is silent. And poor McDonough can't decide what she wants to look like. She hadn't been like a virgin for a long time, I'll tell you that much. She announced she was going to hold a trans right benefit in Nashville, in the city, to protest about the anti-drag law. She ignored the murdered Christians. Demon power's on the rise. I don't think it's an accident we fall in this story this very week. The only thing that breaks that, though, is the voice of authority backed by the word of God. We saw that when Jesus was in the wilderness. We'll see it again right now. It's for us to see. And it goes like this. Verse 35. Jesus said, be quiet. Now, if we were writing this today and we're talking about loving Jesus, he's so sweet. He's meek and mild. Jesus, stop. Be quiet. No, he didn't. He probably stood up in that same tone of voice when he's trying to get a little sleep in the bottom of the boat, and Peter and John and all the others are hanging over the side. They're sick at their stomach, and he's trying to get some rest, and he has to stand up. He's exasperated. He's trying to get, stay. He didn't say, peace, be still. Stop it. That's enough. Peace, be still. Stop it. And I mean it. And it says the winds obeyed. The waves obeyed. He said, be quiet. This is really big. He told him to shut up. It's important to know you have to meet evil at the level in which you're attacked. You stand there a little passive, now I'll lay me down to sleep. You're going to get harassed all night till you take authority in the name of Jesus Christ and you stand on the word. Don't give me your opinion. Don't reason. Don't go into conversation. Like the salesman, as long as he can keep you talking, he's got you there. He's got you. When they start asking you, well, how much would it take to get you into this? I know already. No, I have to leave now. I can't do this. I'm starting to break out right now, and I can't stay here and listen to this sales pitch. I can't do this. But as long as they, well, how? What about so-and-so? It's fine. It's great. Yeah, but, okay, God bless. He said, stop it. Come out of this man, he ordered. Notice he wasn't speaking to the man. And that's where people, and you have to speak to the spirit behind it. You have to speak with the word of God, and you address that spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. And it said, at that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. That was his one last shot. He was going to drag him and throw him just for the theatrics of it. Then it came out of him without hurting him any further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, what authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him. They flee at his command. Can I just lovingly encourage you that you have the word of God in your mouth? You're not equipped on your own ability to handle the things of this world right now. Not on your best day. You'll get run over. You'll get beat up. But you must be standing and living under the shadow of the word. I think we're living in a time more and more that we are going to have to take the authority that Jesus gave us in the furthering commission of what he's called us to do, but not in arrogance, not in presumption. I believe there's evil in the world today. I do not feel that as Christians that we should go seeking it out. I've seen Christians try to make a show of things like that. I don't stand into that. I don't stand with that. I think when we're hit, we've got something. But we don't play with things. It's not funny. You must remember, six chapters later, he reminded his disciples. And he said, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 16. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And I put in parentheses, and furthermore, anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Now, so what happens? He sends them out on a job like he sends us out every day. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. Now, does that say to have a meeting and hold your snakes? Does that say make a show out of it? Does that say gather a crowd and do some tricks and go after it? No, it does not say that. The concept, along your journey, when things come at you, you have power and authority to withstand the things that come against us right now. He said, and demon power is real. It is on the rise. We don't play with these things, but I have power and authority. And by the way, notice the balance and notice the perspective of this teaching moment that Jesus gives, because the very next verse explains it all. He says, but do not rejoice. Don't get cocky, kid. That's what he told. That's what Han Solo said. Don't get cocky. Do not rejoice because evil spirits obey you, but rejoice rather. This is the big picture. That your names are registered in heaven or in the book of life. So again, it's not going out there looking for something. It is in your journey. Don't be afraid when the attack comes to you, because you can withstand that, because not only do I have that word, but my name's in the book. Notice that the key here is to understand, and this will help you in a whole lot of things. When you realize you're not just here to have the circle driveway and the color TV, when you realize that the real key right now is the higher destination that God has in mind. And in the meantime, we're going to work as hard as we can. So here's the buzz. Here's what happened. Verse 37. So the news about Jesus spread through every village into the entire region. Well, we've been dealing with demons. Now something unusual is going to happen. We're going to deal with a mother-in-law. I don't know why it's in the same chapter. We'll just leave it right there, all right? So after leaving the synagogue that day, I mean, he's just come out of an encounter with a demon. Jesus, Troy, you listening? Troy, Jesus went to Simon's home where after dealing with demons, he found Simon's mother-in-law. Now, first off, I didn't know he was married. I didn't even know that. Apparently, when you read a little bit further, this was kind of the headquarters where they all kind of went back and forth and lived during some years of ministry there. So they needed her, man. They needed her greatly. And so he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her. And I thought, it says everyone begged. I don't hear Peter asking, but it said everyone begged. I put everyone in quotes. So standing by the bedside, he rebuked the fever. You know, I got to tell you something. I believe in the Matthew 18:18 binding and loosing prayers. I don't mean frivolous things, but I mean there are things that we have to agree and bind and loose in Jesus' name. He rebuked that fever. What does that mean to rebuke? That means I'm coming to you with the word of God. You have no place. This is God's servant. This is God's person. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I speak, you leave and be gone in Jesus' name. And you keep speaking. You keep doing that. And it said she got up at once. And she went and cooked for everybody. She prepared a meal for them. That's kind of cute when you look at it that way. And so here, as we're coming to the end of three parts, it says, as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick and family members to Jesus. Jesus had a long day. I mean, Jesus has had a long day. Some of you think you have a long day. The same day, and it said, they brought sick family members to Jesus, no matter what their diseases were. The touch of his hand healed everyone. Stop right there. Do you remember back in this same chapter when he referred to the Old Testament, to two Old Testament prophets? And he said there were still a whole bunch of people sick there, and they all weren't healed, but those ones that he went to. This is a real neat thing, the way this chapter lands in our lap. And he said many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command. Yeah, they were shouting, "You are the Son of God. You better believe it." Because they knew he was the Messiah. And he rebuked them. Now, well, here's a real key right here. And refused to let them speak. Don't let a spirit speak to you. Don't give a spirit an audience. Don't give a spirit an audience. Don't give that evil an audience in your life. You continue to speak the word, and that was what helped stop. So after a good night's rest, early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. No fooling. He had to get away from all those crazy people. And the crowd searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I have to preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent." And part three closes by this statement. It says, so he continued to travel around, preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. You've seen pivotal kingdom truths, the birth of a ministry. But in your life, let's believe for pivotal kingdom truths coming alive to birth ministry in you and to me right now. Because it's the truth. At the end of this journey, not only of our three-week journey, but at the journey here, what is God calling us to do? What I told you, this would land on me and land on you. What's he calling us to do? He's calling us to continue in these words, to continue in this way, to continue in our worship right now, and be encouraged. John writes the account when he's speaking to them, and he says to them, I said this 3 weeks ago, he said, "I tell you the truth." When he says, "I tell you the truth," he's telling you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works, or these things, one translation says, that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to go be with the Father. We've witnessed pivotal kingdom truths and the birth of our ministry. This is where we land today. In Jesus' name, let us continue in these words. Whatever challenge comes, you stand on the word, you speak the word, do not be afraid, say it, keep saying it, stand in it, hear it, say it, hear it over and over again. Let's stand.